Back here on this Tuesday on Afternoons with Aaron as we get ready for a Twins baseball coming up shortly. Pregame at 1:30. Just a reminder, the Twins in Cleveland with a split doubleheader right here on Kate. We have a moment here, or many moments, I should say, to talk with our good friend Mike Grimm from the Minnesota News Network, their sports director, voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and men's basketball. We did not get a chance to talk with Mike yesterday because the Twins were on, taking on those Yankees. We know what happened there. Mike will probably skip that part of the conversation, talking about our Minnesota Twins. But Mike, a good afternoon, and let's get right to it. You were busy yesterday with a press conference for Gable Steveson, the Olympic gold medalist, Golden Gopher wrestler, and it now sounds like he is going to join the WWE. What did you find out yesterday?
Yeah, well, he announced that last Friday. You know, I've been hearing some rumblings kind of behind the scenes on campus over the last 2 or 3 weeks that Gable was going to come back and wrestle, but he was waiting to see some other things and if stuff would work out. And it sounds like what he had to figure out is wait for an NCAA ruling on what WWE classified as. So if it was technically pro wrestling, he would not be able to do it. If it was classified as simple entertainment, then he could sign a name, image, and likeness deal because of the new legislation where you get to use your own name, image, and likeness to create contracts and wealth for yourself. And the NCAA ruled that indeed it's not professional wrestling. It's entertainment. It's, you know, it's an act, so to speak. And so when that happened, Gable, went about it the right way. He told, the Gophers he's coming back. I'm assuming he'll take some online classes because he's going to be a busy man, and then, wrestle for Minnesota while at the same time making appearances for the WWE. He was a little vague and a little mysterious yesterday. I don't think he can release too much about what is in the WWE contract. I think some were thinking that he would probably have a match or two, but it sounds more like maybe for this first year, they're just going to build him up. He's going to make some appearances on the TV. He's going to have a stage presence. I don't know if he'll have a match yet until maybe the Gopher season's over, but it's a pretty cool deal, and it's great for everybody involved because it's going to be huge for college wrestling as well, because if he start showing up on these mainstream shows, you know, I go back to the days of Hulk Hogan and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Savage and Mr. Wonderful and the Killer Bees. So if you get past about 1992 in wrestling, I don't know much. So I don't know what these all are. Is it SmackDown and some of these? That's WWE, I think. Friday Night Raw or whatever, I don't know. But I think, if all of a sudden he starts showing up on some of these shows, even if it's not in a match, because he's pretty well known now, that's going to be huge. You know, Minnesota wrestles Iowa, there are going to be people that are wrestling fans are going to go, but there's going to be people that are WWE fans or mainstream fans along those lines that are going to say, oh, this is a big match, Iowa, Minnesota, Oklahoma State, Minnesota. You know, Penn State, Minnesota, and they got this kid that won the Olympic gold in last second fashion. Andy's in the WWE. Andy's wrestling now. Let's go watch that. So I think it's pretty cool, the whole thing.
Now, Mike, you talk about them wrestling someone like Iowa. WWE fans are known for bringing signs and being kind of loud and crazy. They would add a different dimension to a matchup. There's no doubt about that. And a one wrestler in the past, there was a Kurt Angle who wrestled for a while, and his whole stage persona was he was a gold medalist, the Olympic gold medalist. Yeah. And we'll see if Gable follows that route. But I'm in the boat where I would think that he would probably just be a guy that they sort of build his character, because the last thing that anybody wants to happen in his last year wrestling for the Gophers, obviously, is to get hurt in a WWE match.
Yeah, I would think so too. There was already some rumblings that maybe they would try to hook him up with Brock Lesnar in a match, you know, the other former Gopher heavyweight national champion, who made a name for himself in both MMA and in WWE, and it would be kind of a passing of the torch thing. So I don't know, you know, when that will all unfold, but you know, for the whole thing, I just think it's, you know, when I first kind of heard the rumblings a couple weeks ago, it was funny because it actually ran through my mind. You know, I'm a smart guy, and I thought, boy, it would be amazing if he could do both somehow. But I was thinking pro wrestling. It'd be like a college football player. Can't go to the NFL in a name, image, and likeness, right? Just because it's pro football. Well, if this was classified as pro wrestling, it'd be no good, but it was not. And so, I wouldn't call it a loophole. I think it's safe to say it's certainly not the same thing. and away he goes. And I think there'll be some other wrestlers, maybe some smaller wrestlers, you know, because some of those guys, like a Spencer Lee from Iowa, for example, who shared the Hodge Trophy with him and one of the great wrestlers in that great program's history. You know, he's a small guy. I want to say he's maybe 125. So he's not going to be a WWE guy. It's just not going to work. But he could, in his weight class, be a pretty good mixed martial arts guy. And I'm wondering if at some point that there's not a combination there that could be done somehow. Certainly when Spencer Lee's done with his career at Iowa, I would think that would be a potential avenue he would take in a certain weight class, because he's been an incredible wrestler there. But yeah, I think that this can open up some avenues. And you know, what's been interesting, I think, Aaron, is that some of the most lucrative deals that have been signed in recent weeks with these NILs. Now, there have been football players who have signed big deals and gotten cars, and it's all legal now, you know, if you go through the university and it's approved and all that stuff. But there are volleyball players, golfers. Right now, there's softball has had a couple of, when I say lucrative, I'm not talking like millions and millions. But, you know, if you're a softball player and you're, you know, for much of your career worried about how you're going to pay for pizza on Tuesday night with your friends, and all of a sudden someone comes your way with a $25,000 deal, if you do enough Instagrams with the you know, equipment or Gatorade or whatever, you know, that's a pretty darn good deal for a 20-year-old college softball player, right? And some of these deals are slowly starting to leak out, and you know, we'll see where it all heads. I know a lot of people are apprehensive about it, and they should be. It's certainly going to change college athletics forever, but I also think there's something right about it as well, in that, you know, these people are allowed now to do some things that I think they should have been able to do. That said, at some point way down the road, we'll see where it heads, because you're talking about most college programs that are softball and volleyball, quite frankly, don't make a lot of money. And all of a sudden these athletes are cashing in, making money. At some point, do they say, well, look, you know, we can't afford scholarships, and, you know, there are some programs being cut and all that. So, you know, there's always going to be some hurdles and some interesting landmines probably to navigate through this. But from Gable Stevenson's standpoint, he was already in pretty good form yesterday. This guy named, his last name is Paris. He's the guy that he beat in both the national championship from Michigan and in the Big Ten championship last year. And the Star Tribune reporter Randy Johnson asked him yesterday in that news conference about, you know, you're kind of looking forward to getting back and renewing that rivalry with this guy, Paris from Michigan. And already getting into WWE form, Gable said, what rivalry, you know? So it's pretty funny, you know, it's pretty funny that he's getting into the show mode, because I really like him. I like the kid. He's, you know, he's ambitious, he's funny, he's got a great personality, and I'm sure that's what the WWE sees in.
Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher football, men's basketball, and sports director at the Minnesota News Network, joining us here on KATE. And Mike, let's talk about the Gopher football game on Saturday. And, you know, I'm not a betting man, but I'd like to see the history of Gopher football when it comes to the Gophers covering a big spread. Because the Gophers, I think, were 20-point favorites against Miami of Ohio. And if I was a betting man, I would have took Miami of Ohio. Because the Gophers... Yeah. Year after year, when they're playing someone that they're favored to win by a bunch, most of the time that they do find a way to win, but it's always a lot closer than the odds makers make it, and Saturday was no exception.
Yeah, and if you had taken that bet, you wouldn't have been feeling great at halftime, right? You would have been feeling like you're out your money, because it's 21-3. The Gophers had thoroughly dominated the game. Quite frankly, I thought for the second week in a row they didn't manage the time right before halftime great. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, maybe you can score, you know, again before halftime, but it's 21-3 and you're thinking, all right, this is, you know, you're on your way to a, you know, a 30-point win. And then the third quarter happened and, you know, it just one of those deals. My hunch, and I don't think anyone will say it, so this isn't anything that I've gotten. This is just, you know, my feel of being around, is that I think they probably felt, look, we're up 18. We feel pretty good about our chances to win this game. Our passing game has not been great. We need to get some things cranked up. This is a low-risk situation. We're going to win this game. Let's come out and get some passing going, just to fine-tune, because you got a very good Colorado team. Well, they throw two incompletes and get sacked on the first possession. Miami scores. They throw three incompletes on the next possession. Miami scores. and all of a sudden you're in a meat grinder of a game, and they don't throw again the rest of the half. They're 0 for 6, I think, or something like that. And when they really needed it, they handed off five straight times to Trey Potts, and it was an 81-yard five-play drive. All five plays were handoffs to Potts, and I think he had like a 21-yard touchdown run. So, you know, this team can really run. There's no question about that. They were efficient in running the ball this week. They were efficient the week before against a really good Ohio State team. They have to figure out some things with the passing game. I know when you and I talked in the preseason, my number one concern is not the right word, because I do think they're talented receivers, but the concern was, can they get separation? And then if you remember, I said this offensive line is veteran as it is. They're really good run blockers. If this team wants to take the next step, they have to really become better pass protectors. And we haven't, quite frankly, seen that just yet. And so that passing game is going to have to get cranked up, because they go against a really good defense this week against Colorado, who held Texas A&M to just 10 points. And they probably should have won that game down. And I think that was in Dallas. Was that – or maybe it was in Denver. I can't remember now where that game was, A&M and Colorado. But, you know, A&M was ranked fifth, and that was a 10-7 final. And Colorado led them 7-3 right up, you know, toward the middle portions of that fourth quarter. So they're definitely going to have to get some passing game going here this weekend.
You know, Mike, you mentioned Potts, your running back, and, you know, watching him in limited play, of course, we know that the main guy for the Gophers getting injured and out for the season. We talk about the next guy up, and I'm pretty confident with Mr. Potts there in the backfield.
No question. You know, I felt, I think maybe even when you and I talked last week, I felt like this. Look, Muhammad Ibrahim is one of the best running backs this program has seen, and he's different. I mean, he in this zone blocking scheme just has a nice fit. It's just a really good setup. And I thought that this team would look a little different with Potts and the other guys. It doesn't mean they'd be less effective. I mean, Potts had 178 yards, right? So he was pretty darn good. It didn't look like how Muhammad does it. It just was going to change a little bit. And with that group up front, they're just frankly going to be able to, in a lot of games, and particularly when you're playing a team from the Mid-American Conference, which will be a little undersized, you're going to be able to road grade some people, and they did that. And they'll have to do that in the Big Ten as well. But, yeah, Potts, I'm not shocked that Potts had a nice game, and, he had showed flashes. He's just different than Muhammad. And remember, when Muhammad took over, we talked about it last week, he was fourth string. No one knew who he was. And yep. I think we talked, I'm like, well, this guy's a placeholder until they recruit, you know, a stud. And as it turns out, he is the stud. Well, maybe this Trey Potts is. Maybe Bucky Irving, who had the big kick return to help set up the key drive, can be a guy that will be a contributor. We haven't seen Kai Thomas yet, who was a really highly regarded recruit out of Topeka, Kansas, who missed last year because of injury. And I think they're, you know, toying around with some things with red shirts and when they want to play guys, and we'll see how that all goes. But I think we'll see a few more guys over the course of the next few weeks back there. But I don't think there's any doubt right now that Trey Potts is the guy that's going to get much of the workload.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director, with us here on KATE. And Mike, before I let you go, let's talk about what happened in Cincinnati on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings, I guess a valiant effort in the second half to come back, force that game to overtime. They get beat by a Cincinnati 27-24. And I know there was a little controversy over, was Delvin Cook down on the fumble, really on the field stands. But I'm one of those people, forget about the end. Great field goal kick by our new kicker. You have to play better in the first half of football against a team like Cincinnati. And the Vikings just plain did not deserve to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think, you know, I do think this, and if someone wants to disagree, I'm not going to, you know, muster a huge argument against. I do think that part of this, you just can't tell me it doesn't, that part of this is that they didn't play a lot together in the preseason. Nobody wants to play preseason games anymore. I'd have to go back and look, because the argument would be, and I don't know the answer, is, well, Cincinnati didn't jump off sides a bunch of times, and I don't know how much their skill players and their linemen and everyone played together. And I get it. That's what practice is for and everything else. But I'm telling you, when the game goes and the bullets start flying, it's different than practice. It just is. And so I what's the limit? And, you know, of course, if Dalvin Cook plays 15 plays and hurts his ankle and is out for 4 weeks, and everyone's going to say what an idiotic decision that was, you know, because you know what you got. And so I don't know what the right answer is. There was some sloppy play in the first half of quite a few games. I think it looked like to me. I'm not ready to throw the towel in, quite honestly. I'm a little more optimistic about this team than it seems most, because it's now, and again, Twitter, as my good friend Richard Pitino used to say, Grimmer, Twitter is not the real world. Forget it. Don't pay attention. But, you know, when I thumb through the timeline, I mean, I'm seeing people say, oh, the Vikings should tank, you know, fire the coach, go for the first pick next year and get a quarterback and all this stuff. And I'm like, hold it a second. Right now, if the season ended today, guess who'd be in the playoffs? The Vikings. So let's just hold the phone just a minute, because they'd be on a point differential, which, of course, correct, is stupid, yep, for me to say, but whatever. but the point is, you're no worse off today than you were a week ago today, right? And quite frankly, if Dalvin doesn't fumble, think about that. I mean, it's the same team, basically, and you're 1-0, and you're all alone out front. So what a difference that one play can make. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I'm an optimist by nature. I'm a guarded optimist, but I'm an optimist by nature. So I like what this, you know, as weird as it sounds, I kind of like what this defense, you know, what they did. Well, one, they got a bunch of guys that were injured back, which we forget about from last year. And then they added some guys. I thought Michael Pierce looked great. 2 sacks. I mean, are you kidding me? And some of these other guys look good. So I still think this team can do some things, and they're in no worse position than they were last week at this time. So let's not raise the white flag here 1 week into the season. Now, that said, boy, this first 4 week stretch is wicked, man. I mean, they're not going to be favored in any of the next three, I don't think. So if they don't pull an upset or two off and they're 0-4, then yeah, maybe it's time to, at that point, throw the towel in. But let's see. You know, is Arizona for real? They had a great game last week. You know, they've over the course of the recent time been kind of an up and down team. It'd be something, wouldn't it, if the Vikings would be able to come back and turn the table there. So let's see what happens this weekend.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director, and of course the voice of Golden Gopher football. We'll hear from Mike on Saturday. Pregame at 10, kickoff at noon. The Gophers in Colorado to take on the Buffaloes. And Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have you a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Back on Monday next week.
Monday. Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
All right. You got it.